Let's get back on. Okay.
As I was saying, that I think she asked me, could I give her my perspective of where they are? And I just said that I have a tendency not to revisit places that I've been in that sense, that I've had the opportunity to work with Secretary Donovan and I when he was in New York, so I have great confidence that he's probably doing the same thing that we have done to make sure that the GSEs meet their goals. Of course, now you know you've set up the different framework where you have basically your czar that's going to overlook the GSEs. So I'm not sure how much influence at this point in time, based on that Secretary Donovan would have.
Well, I guess the reason we're asking the question is because, of course, the situation of the GSEs has been a disaster for the American taxpayers.
Yes.
And, you know, do you feel like the people who led Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac in those last years, you've said Leland Brensel and Franklin Raines weren't cooperative with you, but Dan Mudd was. Do you feel like they did a good job?
You know, from my perspective, I can only address how they work with us. And compared to how Mr. Bentley and Mr. Raines work with us, it was day and night, as I said, 360 degrees. We felt that they were working as hard as they could to meet those goals. But at that point in time, there was just serious problems that existed with the GSEs. And I guess, I would guess, unless they've been corrected, many of those problems still exist today. I just honestly don't know. I would think that you would have to ask, I'm not sure who runs the financial committee now that oversees the two of them. I just don't know.
Let me ask the question in a different way and bring it to the area of HUD and housing goals. There are some people who've spoken with the commission who are concerned that the housing goals may have led Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to take on more risk than they should have and may have contributed to their financial failure. And I was curious, when you were HUD secretary, whether those issues were ever raised with you by the GSEs saying, gee, this is gonna cause us financial harm? And if so, what happened?
Of course, that's the argument that Mr. Bentley and Mr. Raines made on a consistent and constant basis. They not only made it to us, they made it to Congress. And we disagreed with that position. When you own golf courses and you own hotels and you're doing things clearly out of the range of what the GSE should have been doing, I don't think that's really an issue. So our position is let's try to work together. And we had very, very non-cooperational situation with the two I just named to try to meet the set-up goals that we felt that they could meet and they felt that they could meet. It was a battle of wills. And I must say that in many cases, Fannie and Freddie, through Mr. Bentley and Mr. Raine, had a lot more pull on Capitol Hill than we did with the chairmen of the committee, regardless of if they were Republicans or Democrats. They had a good lobbying machine. In many cases, it was very difficult for us to really bring them in to where we thought that they should be. At the same time, once they left, and many of the issues were exposed with the derivatives and the mortgage-backed securities, I think that, as I said before, Mr. Mudd and Mr. Saracen came in and really tried to work with us to correct many of the ills that were there.
Did Mr. Mudd or Mr. Saracen ever raise to you that they thought the goals were going to force them to take on too much financial risk?
Not from my knowledge, no, they never did. I must again say that they didn't come with an attitude that says, we really don't have to pay attention to you. They came with an attitude, we know there are serious problems that we have, let's try to work through those problems. If we have problems and we feel we can't meet them, we'll come to you. And I think that if you talk to my assistant secretary for FHA, he will tell you that they were consistently talking to us when they didn't think they could meet the goals or that they thought they could come pretty close to meeting the goals. But they never, from my recollection, they never came and said, this is going to hurt our ability as an entity to carry out our responsibilities.
I'd like to leave the goals, but I want to turn to my colleagues. HUD also had authority to deal with new product activities by the GSEs.
Mm-hmm.
And the issue of what is the right range of activities a GSE should be engaging in, given all the government support it gets. Did you ever get involved in any of those issues?
I knew about them, but basically I left that to
Mr. Weicker or your PD&R person?
No, to Mr. Weicker and to my second... second FHA commissioner, Brian.
Oh, yes.
Basically, Mr. Dr. Weick and Brian handled those situations. Now, was I briefed on them? Yes. But my only answer to that when they came is they said, this is the way we think we should do, this is the position we think we should take. And based on their recommendation and that from the general counsel's office, I would say that probably 90-95% of the time, that's the position that we took. And definitely, I can't tell you exactly what they are today. Probably back then, I knew a lot more than I can remember now. But I just know they were brought to my attention. And there were some concerns that they were clearly going outside of their mission.
Okay, let me step back, if I might, and ask a more general question, which is the GSEs were originally set up to be instruments of national housing policy. And I'm curious, you've shown a demarcation line between when Mr. Raines and Mr. Brenzel were there on the one hand and when Mr. Mudd and Mr. Siren were there on the other. I'm curious your perception of the GSE as a tool for achieving national housing policy.
Oh, I from the inception, I believe that they could do that. That was one of the reasons that first Fannie was separated and then Freddie. I think that clearly they had the ability to do it. The question was whether they wanted to do it or not. And from my perspective, it was very difficult to come to the conclusion that Mr. Bentley and Mr. Raines wanted to do that. I think that they saw themselves as a major corporation that was absolutely totally aloof from government, and they use their lobbyists to cultivate Congress, the House and the Senate, regardless of Republican or Democrat, so that it would be very difficult for us, even having the general authority, and even OFAIR having the specific authority, to get them to do things. And I think that was just the opposite when the other two persons came in, Mr. Mudd and Mr. Siren. So, yeah, I think that clearly that's what they should be doing, and I hope that's what they're doing today.
Yeah, can you describe what pressure looks like on a HUD secretary when you...
Have you ever been to a hearing when they tell you you don't know what you're talking about?
It gets that blunt, huh?
Yes. Or that you're trying to destroy Freddie and Fannie. I'm sure if you go back to some of the hearings with Chairman Frank and even the chairman before him, it's all the same. That's why I don't make a distinction between the Democrats and Republicans in this situation, because I think that Fannie and Freddie had done a very excellent job of cultivating them. But I always loved that at the end of the hearing, the chairman or the ranking member would call you up and always sit there. You know, it's not personal.
Sounds like a great job.
It's a great job. But before the cameras, they're totally different people, okay?
I have been, we've had a series of field hearings where we've gone out and looked around the country, and we've been to Las Vegas, to Bakersfield, to Sacramento, and to Miami. And we've talked to people in those communities about what the situation is on the ground there now. And what we've seen and heard is very devastating destruction in the housing market there. Lots and lots of foreclosures in Las Vegas now, 70% of the homeowners owe more money on their houses than the houses are worth. Rampant fraud, as much as 50% of the market in parts of Florida being involved with mortgage fraud. You were our top government housing regulator during the time of the greatest abuses. What went wrong?
Well, you know, it's very difficult to pinpoint one specific area, but I think that what occurred is this, is that we permitted mortgage lenders who were not regulated by the government. Unlike the banks were regulated so we could have some control over those. But mortgage bankers who saw profit from the very beginning to the end, everybody was making a great deal of money until they bought those securities and sold them to China, to India, to wherever they sold them, those mortgage-backed securities. It was a very profitable entity. And it wasn't a great deal of oversight going on by whether it was the SEC or whoever was to regulate them other than HUD. There was not a great deal of oversight. And that's not to in any way dismiss HUD. I think that clearly we made every effort to do that. But I think in many cases we had a situation that clearly we had no control. Let me give you an example of what I mean. I forget the name of the company. It was like
AmeriQuest.
AmeriQuest.
Uh-huh.
From the very inception, we felt that they should not be doing business. But there was no way for us to stop them because, again, they had a great lobbying machine up on the hill. But that was an area in our mind, whether it was Mel Martinez or myself, that we felt was doomed to fail. And clearly we had a great deal of defaults. But at the same time with those defaults, we had a lot of defaults with yuppies who were in over their head buying homes with interest-free loans
right.
for a period of time. So I think that the gamut was not only low and moderate income, but middle income and upper income who got a hold of the market, and the mortgage lenders had no control. We had no control over them, and they were able to do that at this point in time.
Did you ever try to go to the White House and ask for support when you saw how bad the problems were, when you were hearing the reports about how the problems being created, just for example, by AmeriQuest?
Yeah, we had great support from the White House. And again, I'll emphasize that Keith Hennessy, who is on the commission, can fill you in on that situation. We did everything in our power to make sure that Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, AmeriCorps, and all of these other agencies were accountable to the public because we saw this coming in 2000, really about 2000, end of 2005, 2006. The only problem is, as I will be very honest, we just did not understand how difficult 2006 would have been, and then 2007 was even worse.
What did you see happening in 2005 that made you think it was really there were going to be some problems?
I would say basically early 2006, we began to get rumors about people like AmeriCorps and others, the mortgage industry running wild, taking applications over internet, not verifying people's income or their abilities to have a job. So I will say that we first got notice at that point in time and became very concerned. But I will admit, I did not, and I don't think many of us thought that what happened in 2007 and 2008 would actually occur. We thought that we would get the help of Congress to try to resolve the situation.
Just for the record, when you're saying AmeriCorps, you don't mean AmeriCorps.
AmeriQuest.
No.
You mean for the record, you mean AmeriQuest.
AmeriQuest, yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Yes. Not AmeriCorps.
Right.
AmeriCorps is the one that we have for the young people.
Right. Now you said you had hoped that Congress would step up and give you a hand here in cracking down. What were you hoping Congress would do?
Well, we would hope that Congress would listen to us when we were telling them that we were facing some severe problems that we thought would affect the housing market, and we got hearings. But when I say hearings, whether it was individual Congress people or hearings with the committees or subcommittees, but in the final analysis, I think it all came to a head once we realized that we were we, and when I say we, I'm talking about the country, was in deep trouble, as you just said before, with,
yes.
with places like Nevada
yes.
and Florida and other places.
Yes.
Then I think it set in that we had a serious problem.
But when you say Congress pushed back, can you give us an example of what you mean? If the problems were beginning to emerge across the country in different locations, what kind of pushback did you get?
I think you have to understand that everything Congress saw, from my perspective, they thought it was around Fannie and Freddie.
Uh-huh.
And no matter what you brought forward, they felt that we were in some ways trying to destroy Fannie and Freddie. And that was never our goal. Our goal was to make them responsible. But even when we brought up other issues with the mortgage lending industry, and the mortgage bankers, I must say, was very, very helpful, and so was the National Realtors, I think, not Realtors,
The National Association of Realtors, I think they also were concerned, too.
Yeah, they were, and there was another group that, Realtors and one other group, I can't think of their names, it's headed by the young man. I can't think of it. They all were very helpful, and we went up on the hill on a number of occasions from my recollection, trying to stress the issue that we were facing, especially at middle end of 2006 when it became very clear that we were having some problems.
What would you have liked to have seen happen? What do you think, what would you have liked to have seen happen? What would you have wanted?
You know, right now, I wish I could tell you at this point, but I don't want to guess. Because we had some specific things that were forwarded to me by both FHA and policy and research. So I don't know off the top of my head all of those things that were there now because, as I said before, I've been gone now about 3 years. So I just don't remember those recommendations. But we had some specific recommendations from.
Do you remember representatives of consumer organizations coming to HUD and talking about fraud? Their concerns about fraud, mortgage fraud?
They possibly could have. And they probably talked to the to Brian or to Dr. Weicker, the assistant secretary. I can't remember. They might have met with me, but I honestly don't remember because during the day I met with so many people. I can't say definitively that they didn't, but I know that they met with the assistant secretary because when we had our meetings of all the assistant secretaries, they would go when we went around, they would say that we have some concerns and it's been expressed, but how many times they came, how often they came, I don't know.
Do you remember anecdotally hearing from friends or colleagues or reading, do you remember actually consciously remembering hearing anecdotes of these crazy loans and how people were getting big money to buy houses they couldn't afford? I mean, we've heard a lot from people who heard it from their cousin or their son or whatever.
Sure. I mean, you asked a really pertinent question because some of the people who were making those loans were at HUD. So, yeah, we heard that. I can't tell you off the top of my head who they are now, but, yeah, they made some of those loans. And I thought it was somewhat unique that here we were responsible for housing, but we had some of our own staff making those loans.
And were you able to...
And let me ask you, answer that. Yeah, we from outside, I heard it quite frequently, but it was never specifically that John made a loan or that Jane made a loan or that Mary and Bob made a loan. It was just that we've got these mortgage companies making these loans. I can remember one specific incident I just came to my head about some company out in California. It was either San Francisco or somewhere close to San Francisco. They were making these outlandish loans to Hispanics based on just one sheet of paper. Now, did I see that? No. But someone in my immediate staff was concerned because I think they had done something on either 60 Minutes or the Sunday Night Show at NBC, because I remember, I can't remember whether it was Tasha or someone else asked me, did I see it, and I don't look at television that much, so I told them no.
So what did you assume, who was responsible in the government for taking a look at that kind of information, in your mind?
You know, I'm not really sure. I mean, I really thought from my perspective that was an issue that should be brought to the Congress, and the Congress should designate who would do what and how it should be done. Because unless there were legislation, we really didn't have the power at HUD to stop it. Now, I asked on numerous occasions, what is it that we can do from HUD, either FHA or policy and research, policy development and research? And basically, I got the answer that we can be a bully pulpit morally, but legally, there is nothing we can do to stop the mortgage lenders from doing what they're doing.
What about the cases, the HMDA, the release of the HMDA data brought a lot of institutions sort of brought new data forward. And at one point, the Federal Reserve pointed out to you 169 institutions that they thought were likely guilty of bias. In other words, they were steering minorities who might have been able to get better loan terms, to more expensive loan terms. And the Fed had asked you to look at it. Do you remember that case? There was 169 institutions.
I remember the Fed asking us to look at that. I don't remember how many it was, but yes, I do remember them asking. And specifically, that was turned over to FHA. So I just that's all I can remember is that, yes, they did. I can't say that they did not.
But you don't remember whether there was never any action taken, as far as you know.
I can't tell you whether it was or wasn't. I would think that there would be action taken if another agency asked us to work with them. But that specifically was turned over to the Assistant Secretary for FHA,
right,
and probably in conjunction with policy development and research to see what we could do.
How about some other issues that came up around predatory lending? In some states, there were efforts, the states wanted to crack down on predatory lending as reports started to circulate that a lot of minorities were being pushed into more expensive loans than they needed to be into. The Office of the Comptroller of the Currency pushed for a federal preemption. Did that concern you, given that you have a strong interest in housing for minority groups? Did it concern you to know that efforts to stop predatory lending were, in fact, themselves being stopped?
I just don't remember that at all, about the Office of the Comptroller, period. Talking to us?
It was this whole issue of predatory lending, and the one that you probably remember the most, a number of states tried to do things. Maryland wanted to do things on predatory lending, but the one that got the most attention was Elliot Spitzer up in New York, and he wanted to look at predatory lending using the HMDA data at a couple large banks.
I remember him doing that, but I just don't remember the Office of the Comptroller coming to talk to us or to talk to me regarding that issue. I will tell you that, again, if I might reiterate, we were very concerned, not only with minorities. It was just happening to minorities. It was happening to a lot of low and moderate income people, whether it be Hispanic, Asian, whites. It was just happening. In my mind, it didn't make any difference whether you were black. The problem is, what was important is that the mortgage lenders were lying to a lot of people, getting them to believe that they could afford something that they couldn't afford. And we had no way of regulating their behavior. So I think you had a lot of agencies trying to do something, and I do remember the states doing something, but I just don't remember the Office of the Comptroller coming to us at all.
You'd mentioned, though.
Not from my recollection.
Uh-huh.
And again, I must say to you that so many people came into to my office and during the day, they could have. I just don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier in our conversation, you mentioned that some of the initiatives when you first took over as secretary involved using the FHA for home ownership and greater access to credit. And from what I've read, I know some of those initiatives involved very low down payments, if any at all.
Yeah, I did. They did. And some, initially we talked about zero down payment, and as you know, Senator Bond was absolutely against zero down payments. And so we basically stopped projecting zero down payments and went to a low down payment effort to get his support. So so that we become a major player back again and ensuring that the loans were secure. But it was very, very difficult to get Congress to go along with that.
But given, and there's one vision of the world where very low down payment loans made with very careful credit screening and perhaps counseling, I think, was in some of the initiatives, is a healthy and safe way to lend. And then on the other side of this we see is sort of what really happened in 2006. Lots of people wound up with 100% LTV loans and then walked away from them. How do you come down on sort of, is it possible to do that kind of lending safely, or is it something we probably should avoid going forward?
Well, I think it's possible, and one of the things that we really emphasize, and one of the things that I talked to the White House about, is to increase the effort for counseling. To me, the most important thing, having been, and let me back up, I'm the only HUD secretary that ever ran a housing authority that's ever developed units, developed housing. So I really felt that if we counsel these people rightly, make sure that they have enough in escrow to be able to sustain themselves, that it would work. And that, today, I still believe was successful. But there was no control over young, aspiring people who wanted to use zero interest to buy homes. We had no way of controlling that, as I said just a few minutes ago. No way of controlling that. But yes, I still believe that today, that low and moderate income people, and I'm not disappointed, they only get one shot at owning a home. They're not like wealthy people. See, wealthy people can foreclose and go back and buy another home, because I have friends that have done that. But when you're low and moderate income, you get one shot at this deal, and that's it. And so, but that one shot to me was very important, that we not put people in homes that they could not afford to upkeep or to pay for. And so we stressed and got more money allocated for housing counseling that had been done before, And so to me, that was the real important thing if we were going to work with people in FHA and other areas to make sure that they sustain themselves in their homes.
You just mentioned that you know people who have had the experience of foreclosure. Have any of those individuals who you know personally walked away from their homes knowing consciously that they were doing that?
Not that I know of.
In other words, they've been foreclosed on against their wishes.
Yes.
And they could not get modification.
No, because I was of the opinion that we should do everything in our power to get people modifications. And I think if you saw at the last part of my term, and I think even when my predecessor came in, and even with the present Secretary Donovan, he, from what I read, he is doing the same thing, because I really think it's unconscionable in many cases to walk away when your mortgage is underwater. I think the banks, in my mind, and I've said this publicly, would be better off trying to modify the loan so that they could receive some money than no money, in my mind. And so I think that's the same attitude that the present secretary has, and I think that's the right attitude to take. But I think to walk away from it is really wrong in many cases. But I understand how people have to walk away when they don't have jobs.
Can I just ask you a general question? Because you were in HUD when the bubble burst and things started to look very stressful and crisis-like inside the administration. Can you just recall for us some general observations about what that was like to be the housing secretary when this was happening?
Well, in some ways, you feel helpless, because I traveled around the country to Detroit, to Florida, to Nevada, and met with people, and it was not a pleasant circumstances seeing people, and I can remember specifically in two places, in Cleveland and Detroit, people who wanted to keep their homes but did not have jobs. Now that's not a great feeling to have, and I'm very sensitive to that. I mean, you know, I'm the last of 12 kids, and my father had a fifth grade education, so we were not the wealthiest people in the world. So I'm very sensitive when people are making an effort to make ends meet and can't. And that's why we put in motion the modification for a number of people to try to keep their homes. It's not a great feeling, but you don't in any way dwell on that and become devastated by it. You try to do something to make sure that you address the needs, and that's exactly what we tried to do. I believe that that's, again, continuating with my predecessor, Secretary Donovan. I think he's doing everything I've read to address the issue the same as we do. But I'm sure he feels exactly the same way that Steve did when Steve succeeded me, and he feels the same way. We got to make every effort to see if we can't keep people in their homes.
When you look back, and I know you've thought of this many times, is there anything that you feel now looking back you wish that you not necessarily should have done, but you could have done that might have mitigated the crisis?
My answer is simply and don't get me wrong, I think that's an excellent question, but I always go back and rely on our person who I think is, if not the greatest, one of the greatest presidents in this country. That's Abraham Lincoln, when he says that once you walk forward, it is difficult to go back to the step you just left. And I don't second guess myself. I think that we did everything in our power to try to stop the hemorrhaging that was going on. But at that point in time, I think it was just a little late. I think if there's blame to go around every place. I mean, whether it's FDIC, whether it's the HUD, whether it's Congress, I don't think that makes any difference. The point is, it happened, and we tried to rectify it. And I again think that this secretary is doing exactly the same thing. The one thing I tend to see today that I didn't see in 2007, 2008, I think Congress is much more aware and much more forward thinking and proactive than it was back then. And I think that's a positive step.
Thank you.
Do you, in that height of the crisis, following up on that last question, when we got, you know, the market had collapsed and we're getting to right near the end of, I think, your term as secretary in 2008, there were a series of conversations about how to possibly use the GSEs to replace the parts of the subprime market and the private market that had totally collapsed. Do you remember those discussions, and in particular the relaxation, I believe, of the capital rules at Fannie and Freddie?
Yes, I do, but I can't remember the intricate details. But yes, I do remember we had a number of meetings with the GSEs. We had a number of meetings at the principals' meeting at the White House, who was basically led by Keith Paulson and myself as the point people to work with the GSEs.
And were you supportive of those initiatives at the time?
I was supportive of those issues and many others. Anything that, from my perspective, that it took to try to save the housing market, to keep it from furthering collapse, I was for that, because in my mind, if we did not be proactive after being dormant for so long, then we were, in essence, really not carrying out the mission that we were set forward to do, to make sure that home ownership is a prized possession, not a possession that creates problems for the people who have it.
Was the head of OFAO at those meetings?
Some of the meetings, yes. Yes. Not all of them.
I mean, because in the end, they were the ones concerned with the financial soundness of Fannie and Freddie, and I'm just curious whether they had a voice. I mean, they were a lower rank in official government terms than a cabinet secretary, and I'm just curious the extent to which they had a voice in some of these decisions, or whether, for example, Treasury was that voice for all practical purposes.
No, I see that I will disagree. That's the way the papers, the Washington Post and others, wrote it, but I will tell you that's not true. We, between Keith Hennessy, myself, Paulson, and I forget my friend that was at OFAO then.
Jim Lockhart,
who knew the president very well. So Jim played a major role. I will tell you that he was not necessarily in the principal's meeting, but when the four of us met before Keith took over, when my friend from Indiana was running it, we met frequently regarding this issue, and Jim was in all of the meetings. So he had a major voice. Now, if you want to believe the paper that it was all Paulson, I don't think Paulson will tell you it was all him. I think this was a collaborative effort on the part of all of us, because we realized that no one person could resolve this situation. And on a number of occasions, we met with the chairman of the Federal Reserve. So, no, I don't perceive Treasurer was the lead person, and that was very clear. I mean, because between Keith and Barry Jackson, most of the information we had was with those persons.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, what exactly were you trying to get accomplished with the collaborative effort? What was your goal?
And to save the housing market and to make sure that we keep people in their homes.
And so what you were hoping to do is move more of those loans into Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac?
I can't say that. I can't remember now exactly. There were so many options that were on the table. I mean, we had the FDIC, Sheila Bair come into meetings. So there were so many options. I can't say that that was the only option or the primary option. There was just so many at that time by different aspects of different areas with different agencies coming into play when we were at the height of this. So to say that one area was specifically designated, I think that that would be a little remiss on my part.
You're talking about in early in 2007 or early 2008? When were you talking about?
Talking about from 2007 on.
2007 on, okay. Thank you.
I think we're very appreciative of your time. I have two final questions. The first one,
surely,
is whether there's anything as a commission, is there anything that we should understand about the crisis? Any particular viewpoint that you bring to it that you'd like to share with the commission that perhaps is well, your any particular views or any particular ideas you think we really need to understand?
One of the things I think that needs to be understood is, I think, and I hope the commission is not in the mode of blaming. I think there's enough blame to go around. I think there's enough issues that we were faced that initially I don't think we perceived as important as they were until we had the crisis. And when I say we, I'm talking about government as a whole with all of the entities being involved. And there was areas where we tried to emphasize those areas a number of times with Congress, but Congress has a lot on its plate. And I don't think that necessarily they were as responsive as we wanted them to be. But once they saw the crisis, I think that they got on board. And I hope and pray that they're still on board today. I just haven't followed it a great deal at this point in time. I know that, as the young lady just asked, that we still have serious problems in Florida and Nevada. Because having traveled there giving speeches, I've been aware of that. But hopefully that's the only thing. It's not a matter of who was wrong or who was right. The key to it in my mind, as I've said to you before, is there was an effort, a wholehearted effort to resolve the problem, and I think that effort is still going on. That's what I'd like for the commission to know.
I'm sorry to be having another question here, but what you said was really interesting, and I'm just trying to understand exactly what you were referring to. So you saw things getting bad in 2006, and you're hearing lots of reports. And you're sort of, during that period, you're really looking to Congress to take more action to lead on the problem, because it's not clear to you that HUD has much power to stop abuses in among mortgage brokers, who, of course, you don't regulate. So
right.
you look to Congress to do that, but it doesn't happen. And then the housing situation starts to get worse and worse. A whole lot of foreclosures are happening. And then suddenly a lot more people are involved in looking at it. So you're even going to the White House and you're meeting with Keith and Paulson and Lockhart, and you're looking at ways you can help save the housing market. Just explain to me what it is that you were hoping to do in those meetings. Were you hoping to get Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to play a bigger role in taking on the troubled loans?
I think that you've asked that question, and you're just asking it another way. I would say that, yes, they had a role to play, but that wasn't the only group that had a role to play, agencies that had a role to play. We felt that clearly that if we could get Congress on board to understand how important it was for us to have some power, not only when I say us, whether it's HUD, whether it's Fannie, whether it's FDIC, to have some power of regulatory authority to make sure that we have some way of curbing the abilities of these mortgage lenders from continually doing what they were doing, that would be a positive. Now, did we want Fannie and Freddie to play a role? Yes. I mean, there's no question that we wanted them to play a role. Did we want FHA to play a role? Yes, we did. So there's no question that we want. Did we want some of the state housing agencies to play a role? Yes, we did. But we threw all of that out, whether it was from FDIC or Treasury or OFAM. That was our goal, is to come together to try to resolve the problem as best that we could, and make sure that we cut down on the foreclosures that were occurring and the people losing their homes. So it wasn't the total responsibility that we said it was Fannie and Freddie. That would not be accurate.
What about the role? Why was the Fed there? What was the Fed's role in this? What were they telling you there?
You know, I just don't remember. I mean, I wish I could tell you. I think that we were all there looking at how we could better address the issue that was confronted with us. I wish I could tell you everything that was said in our meetings. I just don't remember.
Well, you can't speculate.
I just don't remember.
I'd like to go back and ask a particular question from the time when you picked up, as you had told us earlier, that some of these lenders were really bad actors.
Yes.
And we talked about AmeriQuest, but there have got to be others. Did HUD ever consider using the Mortgagee Review Board to throw some of those actors out of the FHA program?
You know, I don't remember. I don't remember. We could have. I just don't remember. All I know is that through FHA, through Brian Montgomery, we made every effort to really stymie AmeriQuest's ability and the others' abilities to make the kind of loans that they were making, where they build in the down payment inside of the loan. We were very much against that because, as you know, and you probably see in the notes that you have been able to acquire, that was a high default rate with those loans, even though we were insuring them in the FHA. So we were very much against that kind of loan continue to be made. And I can't remember directly. We might have gone. I just don't remember.
Do you remember then when Citicorp bought AmeriQuest? Did that make you feel nervous?
When they bought them, my position was still the same, that we should not be rolling in the down payment. And in many cases, as you all will know, when you look at the AmeriQuest, when they made these loans, the houses were being close to being underwater at that point in time. So, but we had a situation where basically, you know, the AmeriQuest went to court, and they said we couldn't stop them. In fact, they said that if you go back and look at the court decision, the judge barred me from even talking or saying anything about it because he said I had made up my mind. That's how adamant I was about these loans were not good and was hurting our country.
Oh, I never heard about that. That's really interesting. What court was that?
They were in the Court of Appeals. I mean, the district court, I think they went to. I think it was AmeriQuest they went. And the judge prohibited me from even discussing the issue, period, and I was not able to discuss it.
That's really interesting.
I wonder if one of the HUD lawyers who's present can help us get a copy of that decision.
I would think so. You can ask Nancy. I don't think it was either her or John Harrell, one of the two.
That was my case, and that was a challenge to this HUD's proposed notice and final regulation on prohibiting seller-funded down payment assistance, Judge Kennedy in the District of Columbia decision.
Right, okay.
What year was that?
Would that be 08?
I think so, Nancy. Because, you know, at that point in time, I couldn't speak about it, couldn't open my mouth about it.
Right.
Was there a decision, a published decision in that case?
There is a published decision in there. I believe it's published, yes.
It would be great if you could send us the site. That would be help us to sort of put this piece of the puzzle together.
Okay. I'll certainly do that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy.
Mm-hmm. So... So back to my second to my last two final questions.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate it very much. At the beginning of this interview, I think I violated protocol a little bit. We usually like to start these interviews by asking you if you could just run through a very quick bio of, you know, starting wherever you'd like to start through some education, through your major positions, just so we have this for the record.
You're saying, I'm sorry, I didn't get it.
Can you summarize your CV for us?
Oh, my resume?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Oh, let me see.
You started...
I haven't kept a job too long, that's for sure.
You can start with your education.
Well, I have a BS in political science, a master's in educational administration, and a law degree from Washington University in St. Louis. And I was a professor at the University of Missouri for 3 or 4 years. I can't remember, it's been such long. Then I went into public life. I became the youngest public safety director of a major city, St. Louis, at 29 in 76, one of them. And from there, I became deputy and interim executive director for the Housing Authority. That's how I got in the housing business. And then I went to work as a principal with Leventhal and Harwood, one of the big 8 CPA firms. And then I made my run for office to be comptroller for the city and lost, and that was my only run for political office. And then I was asked by Secretary Pierce to come to Washington to run the D.C. Housing Authority, and I ran that for 2 years. And then I went back home to Dallas to run the Housing Authority there, and I think I was there six or seven years.
You went back to Dallas when? What year?
I think 89 or 90.
Okay.
I ran the Housing Authority there. Then I went to a major corporation called Central Southwest, which was a utility company, and became the vice president for corporate affairs and counsel to on the international side. That was Central and Southwest International. So I, what do you want to say? I negotiated deals in India, England, China, Brazil, where we had subsidiaries, and those were management maintenance contracts that we did for those countries. And then from there, I became the president and chief operating officer when Central and Southwest merged with AEP, which is American Electric Power, which is either the largest, second largest utility company in the country. And so I had AEP Texas, which was the second largest subsidiary at about $13 billion a year. So I ran that for 3-4 years. And then,
Is it $13 billion?
$13 billion.
Okay.
And then, President Bush asked me to come and be deputy secretary from there, and then secretary. President Bush was my neighbor back in Texas when he ran the Rangers. That's how I ended up knowing him. And so I was chairman of the General Service Commission for the state of Texas, which is the largest commission when he was governor, and then chairman of Texas Southern University's board, which was the one of the largest historical black colleges in the country, in Texas. So that's basically it. And then now I'm the distinguished university professor at Hampton University, and I run the Center for Public Policy and Leadership.
And are you on boards now?
Am I on boards now?
Yes.
Yes.
Can you tell us where?
I just went on the board of American Partnership, which is out of Dallas. It's a large educational institution that works with major universities around the country.
And are you on any boards that relate to housing?
No. No.
Thank you.
Mr. Secretary, thank you very, very much for your time today. It's been very, very helpful and very informative, and we do appreciate it.
Thank you all so much. You all have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.